The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Our green and gold insider, Michael Cohen of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Michael_Cohen13. It's been a crazy few days. Since we talked to Michael last, we heard from Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst and Joe Philbin, and then a little bit of Winston Moss last night as well. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mike, good morning.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you, fellas?
Mike, what do you know about the whole Winston Moss, we'll say, parting of ways with the Packers? Was it the tweet? Was it more than a tweet? What did this all have to do with?
Yeah, it was definitely more than the tweet. You know, the tweet was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. There were some other issues with Winston going back a couple of years. I mean, first and foremost, performance, I think, was probably part of it. If you look at, you know, outside of those two big games that Kyler Fackrell had against the Bills and then against the Seahawks, the outside linebacker position has really produced almost nothing this season for the Packers. I mean, Clay Matthews and Nick Perry have combined for, was it four sacks, I think it was, before Perry went on IR for the rest of the season. And I think they only had six tackles for loss between them. Reggie Gilbert, you know, was one of the stars of training camp and then has really kind of disappeared for much of this season. So I think performance was certainly part of it. And then, you know, Winston also had a unique personality that could be, you know, difficult to work with at times. You know, the Packers made the choice to pull him from their regular media sessions. He's the only assistant coach that they do not let meet with the media, because Winston had really acted strangely a number of times on the podium, and those interviews are streamed live across the internet, and it was a very strange look for the organization to have a guy up there that was, you know, being combative or rude or aggressive, and it just didn't really make a lot of sense. So the tweet was certainly not the only factor involved in Winston's decision, and it was a decision made by Philbin with the support of Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst. But obviously, you know, making that sort of a statement like he did on Twitter certainly didn't help his cause.
Winston Moss tweeting, among other things, last night, find somebody that is going to hold 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period, hashtag losing sucks. I can't imagine that's an isolated guy who thinks that way. Do you get the sense that there's more people in that organization that are maybe miffed by how Rodgers has been not held to this Lombardi standard? Do you sense that there's more people that would say stuff like Winston Moss tweeted out privately?
You know, I'm not really sure. You know, I think if you asked me over the, you know, about the entire organization, is there anybody in that building that would agree with him? I would think that the odds are probably yes, but it's not necessarily an undertone or a current that I've picked up on from, you know, numerous people or anything like that. So I think people understand that, you know, a change needed to be made at head coach, that there's going to be more changes coming. But more than anything, I think this signals that anybody, whether it's a player or a coach or a staff member or whatever, anybody that says or does something that is going to run counter to what the Packers are trying to accomplish is going to potentially, you know, put their job in jeopardy. Look at Demarius Randall or HaHa Clinton Dix or Ty Montgomery or Jermaine Whitehead. All of those guys said or did something that went against what the organization was trying to accomplish or the message that the organization was trying to get across. And obviously, Winston had done that a couple of times as well, with the tweet being the most recent example. And so I think what you're seeing is that anybody that's going to be, you know, very outspoken or carry themselves in a manner that the Packers don't necessarily approve of, you know, there's not going to be any hesitation to make changes. And that, to me, is the larger takeaway from this, that Winston is just the next guy in line whose either attitude or comments or demeanor didn't mesh with what the Packers are trying to build and accomplish, and so he was let go.
Well, I mean, by them kind of making an example out of Winston, not that they wanted to, but now this, hey, you can bet that nobody's going to be doing like this stuff in the future, as long as, and maybe going forward too, after these final four games, that, hey, you do this kind of thing and you show there's a silo, you're going to be gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the individual too. You know, I mean, if you know, Aaron Rodgers has certainly made comments that have run, you know, run against what the team is trying to accomplish. You know, you don't necessarily want one of your players up there saying the offense is terrible, you know, questioning play calling, taking shots at the coach, but he's Aaron Rodgers, so that, you know, they're not going to cut Aaron Rodgers. So I think that these types of comments are a product of how comfortable or uncomfortable somebody feels with their standing within the team. You know, there's certain players and certain coaches that can probably get away with these types of things. So it's all a judgment, you know, by these individuals of whether or not they feel there will be repercussions for their actions based on how important or not important they are to the organization. Obviously, Winston Moss was a guy that Joe Philbin probably didn't feel comfortable with, and that's why he was the first guy gone, you know, as soon as Philbin had the ability to make any changes he saw fit. But there definitely are players and coaches that would be able to survive something like what Winston Moss did. So it's all about how important you are to the organization.
Talking with Michael Cohen of The Athletic here on The Fan, Chuck and Winkler, 1250 AM, 105.7 FM. As far as the stuff we heard on Monday, it got to a little bit of a trial on Mark Murphy's role with the team. Ultimately, I look at it like this, and I want to ask you if you agree or disagree because you're much closer to it than I am. I see a guy that, in Mark Murphy, was away from the football aspect of it, thought everything was going fine, realized that it wasn't, and now there's all these sort of dominoes that are falling, this butterfly effect of how bad it got when he didn't know what was going on, when he let it be up to Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. So in this coaching search, while I would like Brian Gutekunst to just have the control because that just seems to make more sense, I think Gutekunst will still be pretty much the guy that is doing the dirty work trying to find a coach. I think Mark Murphy just wants to be aware of it and put his stamp on it. I don't look at him as the guy coming up with a list of 10 and then saying, here, Brian, find one off of these guys. I do see them working together, but I would say primarily this is Gutekunst's job. Do you think I'm off with that or not?
I don't know if I would necessarily describe it exactly the same way. I think ultimately Gutekunst will have a large amount of input, and I think anybody that Gutekunst wants to interview, he will probably be allowed to interview those people. But I also think that Murphy fancies himself capable of choosing a coach, you know, on his own. And I'm not saying that he's going to choose the coach on his own, but what I'm getting at is that I think if Murphy believes somebody should be interviewed, then he's going to include those people in the conversation as well. And I could see a scenario where some of the people that Gutekunst wants to have interviewed are not necessarily some of the people on Murphy's list, just as some of the people on Murphy's list might not be some of the people on Gutekunst's list. But I do think that both guys will have a lot of input when it comes to selecting the candidates that go through the interview process. You know, I think that I don't necessarily think that Murphy, you know, woke up one day and said, oh my gosh, how did I let it get this bad on the football side of things? Because his job never really was to oversee the football side of things. So while people might point the finger at him because he has that president title, I don't necessarily think it was, you know, his significant responsibility to be, you know, totally evaluating what goes on in the personnel department or between, you know, the coaching staff and members of the scouting staff. So it's hard to say, but I do think that, you know, my takeaway from that was, you know, Murphy was pressed really, really hard on what makes him more qualified to be the final guy to have, you know, the stamp of approval on a head coach than Gutekunst, who's been in a personnel department for 20 years. And Murphy didn't really have a very good answer for that, and he kind of stumbled, and he looked very defensive. So, to me, it came across as Murphy wants to be able to say, I hired this coach. Yes, I'm going to take Brian's advice into account, and it might end up being the guy that Brian wants. But Murphy, I think, wants to be known for this hire or whoever it's going to be. And that, I think, can be a little bit of a dangerous a tricky path to go down. Not saying that Brian won't get the guy he wants. He very well could. But, you know, it certainly could be a situation where there's multiple guys that Brian is comfortable with, and then Murphy has to decide which one he thinks is best. And I just think introducing more variables into something that should belong entirely to the GM is only increasing the cause for concern. It could come out well, but it's opening the door for other avenues to be explored.
When Murphy was asked when a candidate would be hired, it seemed like Murph was pretty adamant about after the season. Any reason for that? We're going to cover all bases. They want to let just You know, they want to let this current season just go before they move on to the next one. How did you read into that?
Well, they can't interview anybody that's in the playoffs until very specific times during the playoffs or after the playoffs. So if they want to talk to Josh McDaniels, if they want to talk to DeFilippo, if they want to talk to anybody that works for, you know, another team that's in the playoffs, they can't interview those people between now and then. So it was never going to be the type of thing that wrapped up before the season ended, just because that basically constricts their pool of choices significantly.
Is Joe Philbin's shot at being the coach permanently over or under 2%?
It's around there, I think. I mean, look, Joe Philbin's an awesome guy. I don't think anybody in the organization would tell you otherwise. But I think it would be difficult optics-wise for the Packers to select Philbin as their full-time head coach after a year in which the offense was the biggest problem and Philbin was the offensive coordinator. So if the Packers came out and scored 50 points a game the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks and had 500 yards of offense a bunch of times and it looked like a totally different team, then I think you could make that argument. But if it's more of the same or just modest improvements, I don't necessarily think that it makes a lot of sense to keep the guy whose offense, you know, along with McCarthy, did not function very well at times this season. So Joe Philbin is undoubtedly, you know, respected in the organization, and he should be. You know, he strikes everybody as a very, very genuine and very, very responsible and very, very courteous individual. But I just think that they need to go in a different direction. So I think while Philbin certainly will be evaluated, I think it's something that would take a miraculous turnaround of the offense for them to be able to hire him and not have it be a questionable decision in terms of how it looks based on what the offense did this season.
Michael, appreciate the insight. We will talk to you again this time on Friday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, sounds good, guys.